God, I thank you so much for your love. God, and I pray, Lord, that this morning as we seek to understand just a little bit more of what your love really is, God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to understand that for those of us that might get it, that for every one of us that's getting it, there's a whole bunch of people that aren't. And Lord, we need that in the forefront of our minds when it comes to ministry and the church, whether it's the church of Pleasant View or the church of Haiti or the church of wherever it may be. God, use us for the glory of your kingdom. Use us to further your kingdom. God, just speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you so much for your word. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning, I'm talking about training up our children. But this kind of goes in several different ways. And I want to kind of pose this question on the front end. And honestly, I do this a lot where I pose a question and I maybe even give you a scenario of, you know, well, what if this were to happen? What would you do? And that's definitely what this question is. But I want to pose this and I want you to really think about it. What if you knew when your time was up? What if you knew that at the end of today, your time was up? If you knew that today was all you had left, and let's say you're a parent, let's say you've got friends, let's say you've got family, and there's, you know, whatever you've got left of today is all you have left to basically share with them and teach them whatever it is that you think is important. What does that look like? What's important? What do you spend your time talking to them about? What do you spend your time doing with them? And I think because we are so caught up with our plans for like the next month or the next year and, you know, all these things. And again, good to plan, be smart, be wise with your time. But what if? Because in answering that question, we should have some of the answers of what it looks like or what it should look like for us to be training up our children. Proverbs 22, this is a passage that I briefly mentioned last week. We're kind of basing everything on this today. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go. And this is something that God is calling us to do. As parents, we understand that we have a responsibility to raise our children. I think we understand that. You know, it's like, you know, we don't want little Susie touching the stove. You know, what's she going to end up doing anyway? She's going to end up touching the stove to check it out for herself. Oh, yeah, it's hot. It burned me. My arm is falling off now. You know, whatever. But this responsibility that we have as parents. And let me just even go further to say, because some of you are not parents, is the same responsibility that we have as believers, as citizens of the kingdom of God, to teach and to train everyone that God has placed in our lives about who Christ is. That's a little bit overwhelming to us sometimes. Because we look at that and we think about that and we're like, man, I can't stand around at work and be the preacher at work. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't think that that's necessarily what that looks like for us most of the time. Most of the time this is lived out, and we're going to look at some of this stuff today. I think that it's important for us, you know, as we're thinking about this, you know, idea of, you know, if I knew that today was the end of the day, you know, and I only had today to go with, you know, what would be the things on the list? What would be the things on the list if, you know, Bruce Willis and Ashton Kutcher were flying up to, you know, go blow up some meteors or stars or whatever that are coming down to create Armageddon or whatever? You know, I think, you know, in the answer of that, we should find the centrality of Christ. We should find the gospel. That's the most important thing we've got. You know, as much as I love talking about all the hobbies that I have, and anybody that knows me, you know, if you ever get me off on that stuff, I can talk about it forever and ever and ever. You know, but as much as I love talking about that stuff, that's not what is important to this life. That's not what should be important to us if we foresee death coming. And so the question there remains, do people even hear or see the gospel in our lives? Is that something that they see? Do our children see the gospel in us? And I think something this has happened, you know, and Ben and I talked about this recently, and he even made mention, you know, that we've seen this kind of culture shift in the last, I don't know how many years or whatever, in the church, where we've kind of done this, like, let's dumb down the gospel for kids, and it just stays dumbed down. And they might get Jesus, and they might understand some of his love and some of those things, but then at the end they still maybe don't realize that includes loving people. And that includes things like social justice. It includes the church being the ones to minister to Haiti. It includes the church being the ones to minister to the people of Pleasant View and Nashville and Clarksville and Springfield and Ashland City. That's our responsibility. That's part of the gospel. That's part of God's story that we're supposed to be involved with. And it's tough for us because we are busy people. There's some things that I want to go over, hopefully some principles, and you can write these down as we're going if you're taking notes or whatever. You know, again, Proverbs 22, kind of based off of the idea that we are to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think that's probably like one of the scariest things for us as a parent to think about. To think about the fact that, you know, that our children, we could raise them, and at some point in time, they may make a decision to just go the completely other way. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. I can't give you an equation that equals your kid being godly every time. And I'll be honest with you, part of that has to do with, I think, that the fact that our kids are very different. And one of the things that we have to do is that we have to pay attention to how different our kids are. Both of my kids learn in completely different ways, and they're both very young. London's only a year. You know, but it, you know, she's already learning stuff, but she learns differently than Grace. You know, they just learn differently from each other, and I think that's important. I heard a pastor recently talking about how his kids, you know, and how, like, one of them loves to write notes, like write little letters to him, like almost kind of little love letters of, "Daddy, I love you, and you're such a good daddy," and all this stuff, he would get these notes, and, you know, just these things mean the world to him, obviously, and he loves them, and he's got them hanging around his office. I saw them, and you know, and then he was talking about one of his other kids, and they never write him letters, never write him notes. So one day he thought, you know what, I'm gonna write some of my kids letters. I'm gonna write them a note. And so he writes these two children in particular, you know, each their own letter about how much he loves them and how much they mean to him and how much he's praying for them and how he's praying for them. This is a great thing, parents. For your kids to see this in writing, for them to remember that you're praying for them in certain ways. What an awesome thing to have as a child. So he gives the letters to the two kids, and one of the kids is sitting there, and they read it, and they're like, "Oh, okay, great, thanks." And so then the other kid, the one that writes the letters all the time to him, it's like her most prized possession. And in his words, by the end of the day, when he went to tuck them each in at night, the one who's its most prized possession has it taped over her bed, like it is over her headboard. It is the most important thing that she probably owns now. The other kid doesn't write letters, got the letter. At the end of the day, his letter's in the trash. And there's just a huge difference for us. And the first principle that I basically have just explained it to you. The first principle is basically that there are different methods for different children and us communicating and training them up. You know, and I because I'm a communicator and because I have opportunities to speak, and I spoke this week to a college group, you know, when I'm going somewhere to speak, when I'm coming here for Sunday morning, all week long, I'm thinking about who is it that's sitting here. I'm thinking about many of you, and I'm praying for many of you. And I'm praying for the people that you might bring with you, that I know that some of you are going to bring friends or family or your neighbors. Some of them hate church, have never been to church, whatever. They've got bad experiences with the church. And I'm thinking about that. And I'm just like this week when I went and spoke to another group, I'm thinking about who that group is. I'm thinking, what is important for them to know and how do I need to communicate it for them to understand? And I think that we have to do the same thing with our children. And that necessarily, we can't necessarily train every child the same exact way. Like, Chris, if I have a lot of kids, that's going to take a lot of time. Exactly. Exactly. It's the most important job that we have. While we are on this planet, if we're parents, the most important job we have is to train our children up in the way that they should go. That even when they are old, they will not depart from it. The great thing about that passage when I hear it, and because you and I both know that we've seen families that have trained children up, and then children have gone and gone the completely other way and gone into a life of sin or whatever it may be, and that's a scary thing for us to think about. But the thing that I love about this verse is that it alludes to that if we will train them up, that they will not depart from it. You say, well, Chris, what if they go? Listen, it doesn't mean that 20, 30 years from now, they're not going to come back to the Lord. Can't promise you that they will. But I believe in the power of God. And many of you are parents here today, and many of you have children right now that are running from God. And you know they're running from God. And it's breaking your heart. You need to be on, and I'm sure many of you are, you need to be on your knees seeking the Lord. Asking Him to intervene in their life. Praying bold prayers with full-on faith. It's tough being a parent. It's tough being a parent. For us to understand that different methods reach different kids. For us to try to figure all that out, it just freaks us out sometimes. The second principle that I want to give you, and it's a very basic principle, and you think, well, Chris, do you really have to say this? This is church. Yes, I want to say this. I want to teach this because this is so important. It's so important to who our church is, who God has called the church to be. It's so important to us as parents that sometimes I think it's so important that it's such a part of our life at times that we completely don't do it. Like, because it's almost like one of those things that, like, we know that it's there, so we don't have to talk about it, so we don't spend much time thinking about it. And it's very simple. It's the fact that the Bible is your handbook. Very simply put, the Bible is what we've got. God's Word is what we have to train and teach our kids. Guess what? All the books in the world, I got tons of parenting books all sitting on my desk. Actually, most of them are not on my desk now. After I have perused through the majority of them, they have gone back to the bookshelf. And honestly, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, okay, at least like 80% of them could probably just go on to the trash. They're worthless. They got tons of like, how to, 10 steps, little Johnny's, great recovery after breaking his arm. And I'm just like, what is this? Scriptures, and I know that it's cliche to say, and it's like the Sunday school Jesus answer for me to say this, but Scripture is what we've got. Scripture is all we've got. It's what we've got for us. Much less is it what we've got for them. And I think for so many of us, I think sometimes we think about that and we're like, oh, yeah, I know that. But we're not spending time in it. We're not spending time in it, and then we wonder why that child is not responding to us trying to teach them about Christ. The example is everything. We talked about that last week, and we'll touch on it here in just a minute. I want to read this passage, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness. All Scripture. Not the parts that we like and not the parts that we don't like. And you know, it's all Scripture, inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And again, something that we know, but something that we're not always good at. How many times, this would be a question for more seasoned parents. I'm not a seasoned parent. I've only been a parent for 3.5 years. But how many times for many of you seasoned parents can you honestly say that your child has come to you, because I know that I can, and I'm not that seasoned of a parent. How many times have your children come to you, they're looking for an answer to something? Or they need guidance on something. You visually see that they need guidance on this particular thing, but for whatever reason, you can't seem to come up with an answer, and so you just make something up. Let's just go with whatever feels good here, okay? We'll just throw something out and try to make them happy. How much different would it look like for us to be spending time with God and for Him to be putting those answers in our heart, so that in those moments, we may not be able to rattle off by memorization the exact verse where it came from, but we're able to say, you know what, I'm pretty sure that God would want us to do this, instead of, I want you to do this because I said so. God has given us this great responsibility at training our children, and Scripture is the place for us to go. Its contents should guide our lives, their lives, and we should demonstrate that it guides our lives as parents. And that's tough. That's tough. But it's important. The third principle is probably fairly easy to understand, but and we talked about this last week, so I don't want to just harp on it for very long, but that, life is our classroom. And I talked last week, and you should go listen to the podcast for last week if you weren't here. But last week I talked about this principle and just talked about how important it is for us to take the little moments in life to teach our children and train them up. So super important. So super important. As I thought about this, I thought to myself, what are some key things that I would want to make sure that I teach my children? What are some key things that I would want to make sure that they got out of the classroom of life with me being their parent? And I came up with a little list, and they're not on the screen, but if you want to jot them down, that's great. Jot them down. Here they go. I hope that my children see me do these things. This is a living by example thing right here. First off, I hope that my children see that I love Jesus by studying His Scripture. I hope that they see me having a legitimate prayer life. Hope they see me worship within a community of believers. This is scriptural and it's so important for them growing up. I want my girls to grow up and want to be a part of the church. I don't want them to hate the church. There's a bunch of people that hate the church. We shouldn't hate the church. I know that there's a bunch of churches that have done a bunch of dumb things. A bunch of them have strayed from God's word. A bunch of them have let you down. By the way, they're full of humans. They're going to do that. But on top of that, that's not what God meant for it to be. We shouldn't hate the bride of Christ. We should love the bride of Christ. I want my kids to love the bride of Christ. I hope that my kids see me serving as a part of the body of Christ and not just somebody that just shows up at church and doesn't do anything, but wants to serve God as a part of what we see in Scripture, being a part of the body and not making excuses for things from my past and things like that. I know pastors that are that way, by the way. I know pastors that hate, they don't even serve. They might get up and preach, and then some I know that, have quit preaching altogether. They don't do anything in the church, and it's because the church burned them or whatever, and it goes back to that whole hating the church thing, which is not biblical. I pray that my kids would see me in community with other believers, and I'm talking about like in close community, like having close Christian friends that they know that when something's going on with mom and dad, that those friends are there for us and that we're there for them. That within this body of believers is small groups, it's home teams, which by the way, we're starting more of in March. We'll be having a group link and you'll be hearing all about that. And lastly, and this is just something, I hope you understand that I'm not saying that we do these things for show. I'm saying we do these things because we love God. But lastly, I hope that they see me being faithful. I hope that if God ever calls me to do something, that I wouldn't be scared to do it because of X, X, and X. But that they would see me being completely faithful to whatever that is in my life. That they would know mom and dad are faithful to God. If God told them to move to the other side of the world and start a church or, you know, a Bible study or you know, whatever. Dig ditches or whatever it might be to the glory of God, that they would be willing to do that. I pray that my kids would see that. We see Abraham have that kind of faithfulness with his son Isaac. He's faithful to God, and in turn, Isaac comes. And then later, God tells Abraham to take Isaac up and sacrifice him on a mountain. This is all in Genesis 22. And Abraham takes his son and prepares him to be sacrificed. I'm sure anguishing all the way, not knowing what's going to happen, assuming that he's going to have to sacrifice his son. And of course, God doesn't have him do that. And God just wanted to see if Abraham was faithful. And sometimes God calls us to do stuff like that just to see if we're faithful. I mean, do we get that? Because I don't know that we do. And I don't know how often our kids see us be that kind of faithful. You know, and I mean, you know, and that comes down to even stewardship of anything that we possess, money, whatever it may be. Again, I hope that my kids see me being faithful with everything God has called me to do. Whether it's giving, whether it's loving people, selflessness, whatever it may be. These are all things. At the end of the day, what is this? This is us trying to live like Christ. I hope that my kids see me try to live like Christ. You say, Chris, you're the preacher. You're teaching God's word. Of course they're going to see you that way. I'm an idiot. Are you kidding me? I feel like Paul most days and just saying, I've got more sin than anybody in the room. How about that? Take that. I'm so stupid sometimes when it comes to following God that, you know, so many times I butcher it up. We all struggle with this. Key things that I want my kids to know. Again, if you're taking notes, I got a list here. It's not on the screen, but here it is. I want my kids to love God and love people and live gospel. I think that that's great, that our purpose statement is something that I want my kids to do. How awesome is that? And honestly, a lot of things are encompassed in that, but there are key doctrines, and this is where it's going to be important for you to take notes, mom and dad. Key doctrines that I think that are important for our kids to get. Number one, salvation. Last week I asked the question, could you lead someone else to the Lord if they came to you and said, hey, I want to talk to you about Jesus? Or would you go, well, let me take you over here and talk to the pastor? We're all ministers. If we don't understand salvation, now, I'm not saying that you'll ever fully understand everything about salvation because we don't deserve it. But if you don't understand the basics of salvation, how are your kids going to understand it? You need to spend some time with that. Say, well, Chris, I'm busy. You're too busy, okay? You're too busy. Give it up. Something else is not as important as that. You can know how to change the oil in your car, but you can't know how to take somebody to understand what it means that Jesus died for us. Salvation. The cross, which is a part of that, obviously. But I want my children to understand what it means that man has sin and that Jesus died for us and we don't deserve that. But that he did it and he's glorified because of it. I want them to get that. I want them to understand that. Sanctification and justification. I want them to understand those things. That we're justified in Christ and that we're sanctified. You know, and that that's a process. I want them to see Aaron and I having godly priorities in our life. I want them to see that God is first. I want my kids, this is so super important. I want my kids to see that my wife is number two in line behind God. And that they are number three. And then comes church and work and all those things. But being a part of the believing, you know, we talked about that. And you say, well, Chris, what are you putting your kids behind your wife? Yes, I am. How in the world can we expect them to have a godly marriage one day if they have the priorities out of whack? They need to see me loving my wife. They need to see me dating my wife. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Men, don't stop dating the woman that you love. I know you're not 18 anymore and there's no more drive-in movies. But guess what? You're still called to love your wife. You're still called to make her number two. Which means that she's important enough that you make time for her. That you set aside time away from children. This is hard for us to do. It's hard for my family to do this. We have to fight for that time together. But it's so needed. I want my little girls to know that when they start dating guys one day, I want them to know that they got something to measure up to. I want them to one day marry someone that will actually love them and take care of them all of their life. I want them to see biblical marriage. That's on the list. Biblical marriage. I want them to see what it means to be a Christ follower. Biblical dating. Biblical sex. Our students are going through some of that starting tonight. It's so important. It's so important. Where are they supposed to get this from? I think for so many of us, we think that the training should come from the church. The church is supposed to help train ministers to do the work of God. The training up of the children is a responsibility of a parent. Principle four. Relationship is key. Kind of goes without saying. And kind of goes back to all of the, you know, living by example thing and, you know, all that stuff. And I think just to even think about the fact that, you know, that we know that we got to practice what we preach. We can't just tell them things and expect them to do just whatever we want to. I want to read a story for you. I hope this is okay. I want to read this story for you this morning. And this is something that I got from another pastor in a blog that he was writing about. And so it's not my own. But I just want to read this. It's about a girl named Kathleen. It says, during childhood, Kathleen barely got to know her dad. Long work hours and business travel kept him away from home during the week. Church activities consumed his weekends. By the time Kathleen was a junior in high school, the tension between her and her father was thick. Whenever he led the family in prayer or tried to read a short devotion, her body stiffened. As the family marched dutifully into church behind her father, Kathleen felt sick to her stomach. In those moments, every fault in his life was magnified. What a hypocrite, Kathleen thought. When Kathleen left home as a young adult, she left the faith of her family as well. Despite her father's diligent efforts to instill Christian values, they didn't take. You see, Kathleen needed more than mere knowledge of her father's faith. She needed a relationship with her father. Without the latter, she wasn't interested in the former. If we want values we teach them to stick, we must apply heavy amounts of the glue called love. Children perceive parental instruction through emotional lenses. Those lenses are framed by the quality of the parent-child relationship. In my home team this week, I posed a question that was, we had like a huge God moment thing kind of going on. And God really began to speak to my heart. And I can't tell too much because we keep that sacred. We don't share, you know, a lot about what's going on. And I'm definitely not going to be talking about anything anybody individually said and name them by name. And I know that she would want me to share this way because it glorifies the Lord. But one of the people in my home team, we were talking about God's love this week. And we were talking about an understanding of God's love. And we were talking about, you know, and as we went around the room, everybody individually shared about when they understood God's love in their life. And we got to someone, and they began telling a story about the fact that they had never seen real love, so they never understood God's love. And as she began telling the story, it began to really sink into me. I just began thinking, you know, this has to do something with the Father that's in this person's life. And I just said, and so I posed the question. I said, you know, if you guys don't mind sharing, I'd be interested in knowing how many of you feel like your Father's relationship to you has affected, good or bad, your relationship with God. And just about everybody in the room shared. And for many of them, they'd had very negative experiences with their dads when it came to his love for them. I knew this was probably true, but for whatever reason, I haven't just given it tons and tons of thought before. I'm pretty sure I've taught on it before. But God just really began to speak to my heart Wednesday night. And he began to show me specifically how fortunate I've been because my father is a great godly man. He's not perfect, but he's a godly man. And I've had unconditional love from him that no matter what has ever happened in my life, he's always loved me no matter what. And one of the people shared, they said, about a year ago I came to 24 Church. And I came up to you in the hallway after the service, and I began sharing you what's happened in my life. And this person said, when I left, you hugged me, talking to me specifically, said, you hugged me, and you said, I want you to know that I love you despite all of that. And we're here for you. And that person said with every ounce of honesty in their breath, Chris, that is the first time in my life I felt like I ever experienced God's love through someone else. And therefore, it was the first time that I could ever understand God's love. Now, I got to tell you, I don't tell you that because of me. I'm an idiot, okay? And most of the I happen to be doing something right or listening to the Lord that day or whatever and not thinking about what I was wanting to eat for lunch like most of us are doing on Sunday mornings. But God used that to speak to my heart to show me that there are so many people that they don't get God's love. And many of you in here that are parents or are going to be parents, maybe you don't get God's love. And therefore, guess what? We're probably not going to do a great job of mirroring that to our children. God has called us to follow him and be his people and to love unconditionally. To love with a love that's an undeserved love. And it sounds so good and it sounds so easy, but it dawned on me Wednesday night and all day Thursday as I continued to pray and think on what had happened Wednesday night in our small group. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. There are a ton of people that call themselves Christians even that don't understand God's love. They've never understood it because they've never seen it. They've been just waiting to see it in someone else. And their daddy let them down. Or maybe their mama let them down or whatever it is. And for some of you are single parents. Maybe you're a single mom. And you can say, I don't even have a dad for my child to look up to. Or you may say, I don't know my dad. To the single mom, here's what I say. You're going to have to lean on God's word. You're going to have to lean on God. You're going to have to lean on the church. And for those of you that have had terrible daddy examples in this world, I'll tell you what I told my group Wednesday night. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because that's not what God intended for you to see as a godly man and as an example of Christ. It should be someone that loves you with all of their heart, that loves unconditionally. And I know that that's something that's hard for you to even understand if you've never seen that in this earth. But even as great as and as godly as even my father is, you know what? God is so much more. He's so great and His love is so magnificent and understandable at times that we just have to have faith that it's real. And the truth is, it is real. Romans 5, 7 and 8 says this, and I close. Romans 5, 8, 5, 7 and 8 says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's true, true love. That while we were still breaking God's heart, He gave His Son to die for us on a cross. And if we're not careful, we will let our daddy issues or whatever other thing is going on that become stumbling blocks to us leading and training our kids up in the Lord. Matthew 19, 14 says, "But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were getting in way of the children getting to Christ. And I think without realizing it, sometimes we as parents are getting in the way of our children knowing Christ. And I know you don't want that, and I don't want that either. Here's the encouraging thing. Let this be encouragement. The encouraging thing is we have God's Word. We just need to spend time with God through it. We just need to spend time in prayer. We just need to be faithful to Him. Let's be open to that. Let's don't just hear it and just go out and come back for another Sunday of a good dose and shot in the arm of this is what I do to help me feel better about myself and try not to do bad things. Let's be Christians. Let's be followers of Christ. Let's let our kids see that. Let's love them and everyone that God has placed around us in our lives like God has loved us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me pray. God, this morning, I'm sure there's probably someone here that doesn't even know You. God, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to their heart. God, I pray, Lord, that they would be willing to talk with one of our counselors right after the service. God, that they would just come to the back and seek us out. Seek someone out, God, to just talk to. God, for any of those people, just convict their hearts. Just draw them near to You. God, that they would come to You, they would run to You. They may not understand what that means, but they know that they need You. And God, I just pray, Lord, that they would do that for Your glory. God, I pray, Lord, for the parents that are here today, God, that are struggling and raising their kids. God, we are all struggling in raising our kids. God, we need You to help us raise our kids. We cannot do it by ourselves. And if we do, we're going to jack it up. God, we need You. We need Your guidance. Show us who You want us to be as godly men and women, as examples to our children, to our friends, and to our family. God, we love You. I pray, Lord, that our love would be real for You, and that our children and our friends and our family would see that in everything we do. In Your name I pray.